You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 284. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have a plethora of topics for you. We've got a new card. There's some talk about something happening in the world of Star Trek. There's events going on this coming weekend that I want to touch on. And we also watched Eye of the Beholder, which I want to say that was the name of another episode at some point, wasn't it? Maybe a book?
It was a book, too. And I think it might have been an episode with where Geordi is something. Something happens to Geordi.
Yeah.
Where I think that's the one where he gets Romulan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Could be wrong.
No. I see Utopia Planitia and the guy jumping into the... No? Well, I don't know what that is about. Season 7, Episode 18. Counselor Troy's investigation into the suicide of a crew member suggests a murder was committed aboard the Enterprise while it was being built, and that the murderer is still aboard. I seem to recall that would being a weird episode.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. I cannot even remember that. Oh, I vaguely remember something about that.
Daniel Kwan.
It's like, was it the one with Daniel Kwan?
Yep.
All the empaths are having flashbacks. Okay.
Wow, that is a heck of a cast list. All right. However, that is not what we watched. We watched the animated series. Episode Eye of the Beholder, which is very different, although does involve telepathy.
Yes, remarkably enough.
This is an episode that I don't think they could do if they were not doing an animated show. Would you agree?
Well, certainly not with that alien race, no.
No, that was bizarre. They look like giant slug things with a big hand on the end of their nose, and apparently they're super intelligent, even though they look like they're about to fall asleep.
They did look really bored all the time, which I guess is why they need a zoo to keep them entertained.
Wow. That... So did you just watch it like 10 minutes ago like I did?
I watched it like an hour ago.
Okay. Pretty good, adventure hook. The Enterprise has got to go investigate what happened to the last crewed ship or science crew that was here. Although they don't say anything about what happened to their ship. They never saw it in orbit or anything.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
Never sure what happened to that. They don't really address it.
Yeah. It sounds like they had a couple person crew, a 6-member crew, and half of them beamed down, and then the log says, they're listening to the log, and the other 3 beam down to go find him. And as he's about to explain himself, Kirk just shuts it off.
I was in the neighborhood.
Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down and have a look around, and then they get captured, and then they're put in a zoo, and they eventually get out. There was a lot of... I felt like there was a lot of the writers want to write Kirk, Spock, and McCoy dialogue, and we're just going to have that be half the show, which wasn't bad, but there was
a
lot. There was a lot.
There was a lot of that, which is funny because that was one of my earliest complaints. Was like, they're not really doing this, and then they kind of started introducing it, and this was like half the. You know, it's like, when is something going to happen? Like, we're just going to have quippy dialogue moments here.
It was a lot of Spock says something, McCoy snaps at him, Kirk says, gentlemen, we have work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened a lot. I mean, if it was a drinking game, you'd be out. They get captured. They get reunited with 3 of the members of the old crew. Apparently, the other 3
rest didn't make it. Yeah.
They they manage to these slug with the nose creatures are slightly telepathic, so they manage to convince them to give him a tricorder so that McCoy can help someone. And they decide to use that trick again to get a communicator and have someone beam up. And apparently Scotty missed and beamed up the baby slug, who goes on a magical adventure with Scotty and saves the day at the end when Kirk is getting mind whammied by multiple of the slug creatures at once. Is that sum it up?
Yeah, that's about it. They go through this long, rigorous process of trying to establish any kind of communications with them, and then Scotty shows up at the end with the baby and says, "Oh, I solved it all, Captain! We just had a nice chat, and I told him that we're not evil, and now we all get to go home."
Yeah, and they do this every once in a while, where they have this just ancient species that's been around for, you know, millennia or whatever. This is like the second in a row, though, because didn't last week we have the only intelligent race, the alien slavers or something, and they fought to extinction? Well, apparently not, because these slug things were around too. What was it?
Tens of thousands of centuries. Like, could you just do math? You know, like.
No, because we don't know what the conversion rate is, and it will take.
That's right.
It'll take Spock
a lot of
time.
Of their centuries.
Yes, it'll take
Spock
a lot of time.
Which, with no explanation about why that conversion is weird.
No, that made no sense. Does their planet take three times as long to go around their sun? Well, then just, you know.
You should just say that.
Yeah.
And then Kirk has to go and then lay down the ultimate insult as they end. Once they're all free to go, we have two different parties to beam up, all human. And Spock, I can just feel like Spock is just off camera going, "Hey,
hey, you
have to get, you know, that's just nasty. You have to get mean about it." derogatory.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's go back to positives. This episode, I felt moved. Okay, there were points where they were just talking, but I felt like it kept going. I was never, you know, we didn't have any long pans. I didn't, you know, no problems there. What else can I say that's nice about this? I want to say we've had this story before, but I can't offhand remember a time when everyone was put in a cage to be a somebody in a zoo.
The menagerie?
Oh, yeah. Right. There was that.
the episode named after a zoo?
All right. So forget about that then.
And there's, like, you know, overtones of... Squire of Gothos, is that it? Yeah, with the child version of the super intelligent beings being the key element. I didn't really have any strong feelings about this episode, really.
Agreed.
It was very, they say in the Wastelands, mediocre.
Mediocre is exactly the word I was going to use. It's just kind of there. It was not. I didn't hate any parts of it, but there were some good dialogue parts. But it was stretched pretty wide. There was nothing I really loved about this episode.
But there was nothing I really hated about this episode. By the same coin, it was all right. You know, it had. A decent premise, but it was just not, you know, it was like, okay, this happens and this happens and then this happens and then this happens and then we progressed logically and then it's over. And yeah. That was it.
Yeah. I there wasn't really any, I guess kind of at the end when Kirk is being attacked by all the monster thoughts at once was the only real kind of tension in the whole episode. Everything else was pretty laid back. And, all right. I guess we're going to get carried over here now. And, all right, I guess we're going to be in the zoo for a while, and boy, Spock was really fatalistic at one point. Just kind of spelling it out, I guess we're just going to be here, and we're going to be in the zoo now. That's it.
I felt like they very much underreacted to a Tyrannosaur, not even Tyrannosaur, like a Godzilla-sized creature falling on McCoy.
That's right.
Like, not even like his legs, like the front half of McCoy.
I completely blocked that from my mind. And
like, just, I guess, thanks. I feel okay. I just thought the air was running a little thin under there. Like, you just like got crushed by a lizard. How are you alive?
I don't get it. Was that some kind of story construction where they tried to get at something one way? You know, they're trying to push the thing off, and then they had to change gears and dig him out. Was that some kind of?
Yeah. I don't know the point of that. Yeah. In fact, there was a whole lot of the first half of this episode that I don't know what they were trying to set up. They were clearly meant to be setting up this whole, the aliens are intelligent and they're going to capture us and put us in a zoo, but none of that really seemed to connect. It was, hey, look, we have this type of ecosystem and then this completely different type of ecosystem right next door. That's weird. I don't know how you could do that, but it sure is here. And then we end up at the city where there are aliens and they capture us and we're in a zoo.
Yeah. All right. You know, out of five stars, I'd probably put this at about 2.5, maybe a 3. Disappointing. But you know, no egregious. Don't ever want to see this again. Well, you know, there's been some low points, I think, so far, and this is definitely not one of them.
This is definitely not one of them. And it didn't even really have that many, because it was a couple of weird moments, like, what is going on? But nothing horrible. So, yeah. Agreed. 2.5. Thoroughly mediocre. I can't even really think of an interesting card that would come out of this. You know, telepathic aliens or something.
Yeah.
Telepathic alien kidnappers.
Right. There you go. It will just do an AI. With the weird slug thing carrying the three of the, you know, the big three down the path. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Well, in more exciting Star Trek news.
Yeah. So it sounds like Star Trek is coming back to television-ish in early 2017. Yes.
Television-ish is a great way of putting it. I had to go back and reread the article after somebody commented on it, because I immediately shared it. I was very excited. You know, it's a little bit like seeing Star Wars come back. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I try not to get too excited about anything these days. But yeah, CBS is back in charge. They're the Paramount parent company. They share the same parent company, Viacom, so that makes sense. But I guess it's going to premiere on the network just to get things going, and then they're going to hand it off online,
yeah,
which I don't really think has been done before.
Well, I mean, there's other shows that have been just online. I mean, things that have been good. I mean, I really enjoyed Daredevil. That was fun. That's what it makes me think of, you know, something with a tie-in to a cinematic universe of some sort.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if the money and writing is behind it to produce a good show, it could be great. I don't know if it's $6 a month great.
Yeah, for just that. I mean, you're not just getting that show.
I would
sounds
be.
Like you'll be getting everything else from CBS. But yeah, if that's all you care about, then, you know, you're basically paying. Well, you know, if you think about it this way, you know, if you try to buy a series off of like Amazon or Netflix, it's like $30 for a season or like $3 or $4 an episode.
All right.
So if it's only $6 or $7 a month, that's less per episode. You know, if you feel like you get 4 episodes a month.
And if it's anything like HBO Go, you know, you sign up for it during the season and then you turn it off when, you know, the season's not on. You don't have to pay for it if you're not watching anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
I wonder if this would be something, you know, if oh, that's weird, because if it is like a Game of Thrones situation where it comes out every week, that's very different from how a lot of the online shows have been made, where they just put it all out at once.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering myself, is it going to come out episodically the way some you know, online shows, you know, most, a lot of the web series based, you know, shows, real internet based shows have done versus things like major networks, like, or not networks, but major outlets like the Netflix shows and the Amazon shows, where they're just like, here is the season, see you next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they were trying to, you know, from a marketing point of view, if you want people to sign up for multiple months, yeah, do it. Once, you know, you put out an episode a week, or an episode every 2 weeks, so that you're paying at $5.99 for as long as possible. I wonder if this would be something, if it is episodic, you know, and it comes out Thursdays or Saturdays or something, this would be turned into something where, you know, one of us get it. I'm guessing you can, you know, who I imagine, I would imagine would get it. And then we'd all go over to Mac's house and watch it on the big screen once a week. You know, I could see that.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And I don't think they would mind that, because it's, you know, it's been a while since there's been, I hate to use that phrase, but appointment television.
Exactly.
You know, aside from sports, you know, really it's like you can get things whenever you want to watch them. So, you know, I think Game of Thrones kind of had that feel, because it was such a limited access thing, being only on HBO, and only certain people got HBO Go. HBO Go has expanded a little bit now, so you don't have to have HBO to get access to it. But, you know, Game of Thrones really sort of brought that back. You know, it's been a long time since we had gathered to watch something.
Yeah, if it wasn't a sports show or an award show or something like that, there's no reason to, you know, make their schedule be our schedule, right? You just watch it whenever.
Exactly. But it would be fun to do that with a Star Trek on TV again.
Yeah, because, you know, you play Tribbles during it, or if it is something that's like, it's going to come on at 8 o'clock on Saturdays is when they release them, that sounds like a perfect opportunity to have a tournament. You know, the tournament ends at 7:30, and then you watch a new episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That could be pretty amazing. I would totally go for that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Have you, obviously you got wind of the news because you brought it up before I could suggest it. Did you see anything in the way of media talking about it online?
Just here and there. I haven't seen anything concrete about, you know, what time period it's going to be or what the format's going to be, other than, you know, they're going to be exploring, and the people behind, you know, the reboots are behind it. So I can only guess. It's going to be, if I had to guess, it would probably be around that era, you know.
Yeah.
Some other ship in the neighborhood.
Yeah, the official statement was very vague, and much, you know, it was like, we're going to say things without actually saying things, because that's what networks are good at. But, you know, it's going to be Star Trek-y. You know, we're going to explore with worlds and civilizations. You know, several outlets put out, you know, articles, and it was funny because the thing, there were a couple of overwhelming points that kept coming up across all of the editorials, and that was returning to the TNG timeline. There was a lot of support for that, and returning to the serialized setting of like Deep Space Nine, you know, instead of the episodic, you know, that's really, television has really sort of taken that turn. And I think I really enjoyed that about Deep Space Nine, about how, you know, episode after episode after episode built upon the continuing narrative.
Yes.
Particularly during the Dominion War. And I completely agree with that. I think I would love to go back to something like that.
I mean, it's, Everything that's been interesting to me, at least, has been in that post, you know, Voyager era. The TNG timeline, you know, if that's what we're going to call it, the DS9, Voyager, that era. Going back to Enterprise was fun. I would have loved to have another season, especially, you know, where they ended up. Going back to that era again would be a little odd, since we kind of already set up this was the Enterprise, this was the crew. They'd have to, you know, I don't even know. I mean, it's a year and 2 months away, so they could start anything up. I would love to have seen an announcement of something that folks have been calling for, at least locally. Maybe Johnny or someone else has mentioned it. Whenever something like this comes up, what I think would be entertaining would be a kind of a bunch of maybe related, maybe not related, short little stories. You know,
like an anthology style.
Exactly. Maybe animated, maybe not animated, maybe a mix of both. You know, you get all the great voice actors who could reprise their roles without having to look like they were before.
Sure.
You could have little stories with just the people you can get. Maybe tie, you know, maybe have a thread that goes through all of them, through all the different eras. That would be really entertaining, I think. But, you know, at this point, we take what we can get, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that idea. I think Charlie was the one who keeps bringing that up, as far as I can recall, or maybe he heard it from Johnny. But I do like that idea more of as an animated side thing, like, you know, like tales from the Star Trek universe. And like you said, you could have, you know, anybody come in and reprise their voice roles. But for a mainstream, what sounds like it's going to be a prime time series, you know, I think you need to have, you know, it's a new ship, a new crew, a solid, you know, these are the characters we're going to follow. You know, pick an established timeline. You know, it's funny, the parallels coming with the Star Wars and the Star Trek right now, because there's been such a buildup of that post-Voyager, you know, those three, you know, that the main future timeline of TNG, DS9, Voyager, those things kind of coming together in this is the Federation post series timeline, mm-hmm. you know, all mixed together. They even stopped branding them as this is a TNG novel and this is a DS9 novel because they're all kind of overlapping in the same universe. You know, do they pick up in that or, you know, come in a little bit after that? You know, it would be nice to have references to that, and I'm sure they want to leave the door open for guest spots, but you don't want to rely too heavily on that, I would say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're going to stick, say, here's my problem. The people that are behind it are, you know, at least the names that are released so far are all reboot people. So I have real difficulty saying, you know what would be fun? You know, we've got, there were Enterprise A, B, C, and D, right, and E. We don't have any stories really for B or C other than the one we know about for C, you know, the last one, right?
Yeah.
We could go, it'd be tough to have a series.
For the first one.
What's that?
And B for the first one.
Yeah. Right, we bookend. B is for bookend. I think if we, an interesting plot spot to fill would be the Enterprise B years. How do you have a Star Trek show that doesn't take place on the Enterprise, right? Granted, DS9 was great. Voyager was okay. But if they're going to reboot it after all this time, I feel like they got to go back and have a big ship and it's going somewhere. And, you know, have the miniseries style stories where, you know, there's big arcs that lead somewhere. But it'd be a tough sell without the Enterprise, I think.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what they're going to do, you know, there was you mentioned the reboot guys being involved, and I, you know, obviously they can't, you know, just port the movie over, and I would definitely shy away from keeping it in the reboot universe, just because you immediately run into the problem of this is in the same timeline and universe as the movie. But it has this much crappier TV effects because we don't have that kind of budget for a weekly series. I always thought that too, you know, moving away from the Enterprise, DS9 was different because it was on a station. But they seemed to kind of get the feeling fairly quickly that it was rough not having a starship, to try and get away, you know, even though they had the runabouts, you know, they eventually brought in the Defiant, and Voyager was, you know, it was its own animal. You know, it kind of made sense. Voyager being lost in space, et cetera. But yeah, coming back to the Enterprise, I mean, but then do you go back to the Enterprise? The problem with, I guess you could start with the Enterprise C and it would just be people we don't know. The problem with B is we kind of know the crew they start with.
Kind of.
And all those people are kind of old now.
Yeah, but, you know, I wouldn't hate it if it was Enterprise B, you know, it's been out for 5 years and now we're going on a second 5-year voyage, right?
Yeah.
We've got a new captain, new crew, here we go. But then you're doing the same, you're kind of in that same spot that Enterprise turned out to be, where you're trying to tell stories where there's already a narrative of things, you know, there's already history of the future, and you've got to try to plug in and not get in the way of yourself. Which leads me back to being in the new universe and just having something open-ended. Maybe it's just another ship, you know, maybe it's the Excalibur in the new universe, and they're going off in a different direction as the Enterprise did, and they're going to go that way and explore, you know, new worlds. Maybe they'll have a crossover every once in a while. I mean, if they can do it, if they can do the crossover stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, Winter Soldier and that kind of thing, they could conceivably do something similar where they've got, you know, second-rate ship over here and the expensive actors only show up every once in a while, right?
Sure. You know, if they did something more land-based, I think the primary difference being, like, as we said, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all human agents on land, doing land type things, and there are no men in transforming, you know, iron suits or gods of thunder that have to fly, or CGI, you know, Super Hulk guys that will eat up that budget. Whereas, you know, if you're going to do a full-on 5-year mission style ship-based series, that you need to be in space every once in a while, you know, and that could be tough on the budget. I mean, Star Trek has always been, you know, a high budget series. So, you know, hopefully Paramount knows what they're getting into, and they'd be willing to put out that budget. But to really match it up, I don't know. Maybe they can pull it off. But that would be really cool if they can.
Yeah, I think the biggest, and we'll probably find out within the next few months, is, you know, when. And I think that's the biggest question. When is it going to be? Is it going to be that weird in between two things? Is it going to be in the new universe? You know, is it going to be next generation new universe? Right? So well after the movies.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh man, my brain.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, then you put the movies in the same boat as you put Enterprise, though.
Yeah, but that's so far apart. You could do anything. Really, you could do a lot of different things. Maybe they'll bring back the Enterprise,
man.
J. Who knows?
Ugh.
All right. Well, there's one other bit of things that we can talk about, and that is, you know, ties in with what we did at the very beginning of this show. If you read through this release, you can watch all Star Treks on the CBS All Access. That makes me think that we better finish watching the animated series pretty quick, because it's not going to be there for long, right?
Well, you know, we've got, you know, till 2017, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if all the Star Trek is available through this paid app, I would imagine that the license to show Star Trek stuff on Netflix is going to be ending sooner rather than later.
Sure. Well, we can, you know, move along and see what happens. We are over halfway through.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if there's an announcement, we could burn through more than we have been. But that's going to be disappointing, because, you know, if I forget something that happened and I'm putting together a card, or I want to just reference something quick, and you throw it on Netflix and open it up and you can watch anything, right? And that's I foresee that all going away, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, it depends on how long Netflix has the license, you know, agreement for. They probably set it up for a distance. And if this is something new that they're going, oh, let's do this launch with Star Trek, you know, maybe it will overlap for a while.
Yeah. All right. We do have a TUI spoiler. There's one other thing I want to talk about before that, and that is the period review that's coming up on Saturday and Sunday this week. So on the 17th at... it's like 10 o'clock Pacific, and on the 8th at 2 p.m. Pacific is the period review for second edition and first edition. And it sounds like I'm going to be on the panel for first edition. So send in your questions. you know, hit us up for anything you want to know, and we'll be chatting for probably an hour or so. If we don't get questions, this is going to be me and a couple other guys just staring at the camera and making stuff up. So questions are easier to answer than, you know, just talking. So there you go. tune in and send in your notes, and we'll see what we can respond with. I'm probably going to probably be in the audience for the period of review for second edition, but not on the panel. So with that, why don't we move on to the last bit of intelligence we have here.
Sounds good. This is a 2E spoiler for the now we now know to be face of the enemy, and it is Eric Pressman, who is kind of a face of an enemy. he's not super friendly.
You know,
he's kind of on our side.
The first thing I did when I saw this was try to look in the background and see if it said call 911 or something like that. Because he's in the transporter room, and they've done that at least once. You know, they wrote Max. Or no, that was on his shirt. Anyway, I don't see anything. I don't think I see anything obvious here. Obviously Easter eggy. He is a two-cost fed Earth guy, but his ability kicks in when you're on a TNG ship. So DS9 Earth can use him for his skills, which intelligence, leadership, officer, physics, and treachery. Not bad for two costs.
Yeah. A fed intel and treachery.
Yeah.
For two, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But then he gets bitchin'.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Confessions. He's another fed.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Oh, but Confessions specifies DS9. Oh,
yeah, you're right. All right. Right. So, two costs for all that's pretty good. His attributes are only 4, 6, 6. But you're right, he's got an Admiral keyword, and when he's on a TNG ship, that ship gains cloaking device, which is pretty cool.
This is very cool.
And it kind of makes me wish he was backwards compatible, because that would be very interesting.
Yeah, and you compare him up with the other new card that the name escapes me. I just kind of skimmed them earlier today, but the one that lets your admirals and generals...
Oh, yeah, all be magic
commanders.
Yeah.
Now look, I am taking command, and install this cloaking device.
Yeah, so I think he's going to find his way into decks just for the skill set. That the Nirvana 3 requires intelligence and treachery, so he brings in some diplomacy, yep, security, and he can help out with that pretty well. And what are you going to do with the Federation cloaking device ship?
Whatever you want. I don't know. What do you do with the Defiant?
I don't think I've ever.
You don't really think about it because you haven't had the opportunity. I mean, there are a couple of. I used to use it for. There's a couple pursuit cards that reference having a cloaking device.
You use it for like End of the Breach.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, that would definitely be really cool with 2E, or with 1E rather. We're just gonna turn over and not be here right now.
All right. Well, if you can figure out something to do with the Federation cloaking device, send us a note and let us know. I actually in the chat room. Let's see if anybody's posted anything. No one has. All right. Well, there you go. very good. If you can think of something, because clearly we cannot, pass that info along for us, and we will. Oh, what's this? Your opponent chooses a staff cloaking device ship he or she commands at this mission. It's weapons plus one. Unless you have shields mounted to that ship's weapon, randomly selected personnel will be killed, and all your personnel are stopped. Once more into the breach. There you go.
Oh, yes.
Federation pursuit deck. You just fly over and just start popping them. All right. Anyway, that's all I got. That's what I came up with. All right. Any other business?
I think that's it. I think we're hitting in. We're starting to roll into those slow holiday weekends. We do have a tournament coming up this weekend in San Diego. If you're going to be in the area, there's 2E Constructed OTF standard, I guess, is the 2E terminology. I unfortunately will be out of town for travel. Yeah, I've got to go see the family before the holidays hit.
Right.
But
I'm thinking I'm either going to go or go to Tribbles afterward. I think I will be there for.
Yeah. But we do have another tournament 2 weeks after that, which is 1E. And I have that blocked out on my calendar, and I have even rearranged some other things so I can at least get to one tournament this month.
Yeah, I see 1E OTF sealed as what it's listed as.
Yep, and we're going to bust out some mirror packs and accompany that with some crossover virtual stuff. And I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It's going to be interesting, and I'm sort of hoping we can build on what we did on at Gen Con, have a little bit more diverse pool than just the starters. Should be very cool. And then Tribbles, of course, afterwards. So even with the holidays, still trying to get some tournaments in. So join us for that. And we'll definitely, hopefully, have some word on those as they come. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
I'll draw it in. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot defect.